Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Adam McKelvey. You can find his work at Brewers.com, MLB.com. Apparently, Hank's still alive, Adam? Or was that fourth version? Brewers put out like a Sandlot-type video. And there's a dog in there that looks like Hank. Yeah, that was very good.
That's Hank. Yeah, that's Hank.
Wait a second. This Sandlot video.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I see Steven Vogt in the video?
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Isn't he hurt with a shoulder? He swung at a bat.
Oh, that was shot right at the start of spring training.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. I was going to say, I thought he was on the disabled list.
No, he had been swinging a bat. Even while he was down, he was DHing in games.
Okay.
And just not throwing. But now that he had that little setback, and now they decided let's just totally shut him down. No hitting, no nothing. Tried to get this thing knocked out. So
the Hank used in that video is probably dead by now.
The what?
The Hank, the dog used in that video, he's probably dead by now, too.
Okay.
I'm big time Hank truther, Adam. Big time.
Yeah.
I give Travis credit for the legs that had and continues to have. So bravo. But Hank's alive. I haven't seen Hank for a little bit, but he would show up and on deck. That was incredibly well produced. And if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about yet, go look. Basically anywhere on any social media platform, and you will probably one of the first things you will see is this Sandlot video.
So,
I mean, it honestly, I'm going to have to call David Stearns and ask him if he acquired Christian Yelich specifically to play Benny the Jet because they needed one more guy to fill out that cast. It's like kind of uncanny. I went and spent way too much time, way too late last night, trying to doing side by sides of the guys, and it's like, I mean, Dr. Chase Anderson is the kid. I don't know the kids' names, but Chase Anderson really made me laugh. Brett Phillips, of course, made me laugh. It's pretty awesome. It's Caitlin Moyer, their social media maven, who came up with that idea, and she got all the costumes over the winter. I don't know if she came up with this. How she got the guys to do the lines right? And they shot that real early in spring training, and then they've been wanting to roll with it. But I think Major League Baseball, because it's the 25th anniversary of the Sandlot, which is insane, asked to hold off because the timing of this was timed to some kind of Major League Baseball announcement about the movie. So I got to go, I guess, and figure out what that's all about too. But I think, I don't know what's out there and what's not. But there's stuff coming related to the Sandlot all over Major League Baseball this year. So that video, I think, is going to get a lot of traction.
Okay. As for the team.
There's a team. We have to talk about that.
There's too? A team, yes.
No, let's talk about Sandlot 2. Have you ever seen that
unlike
movie?
Unlike people in the past, we care more about the Sandlot than the team. This is one of the few times where we actually care about the team over something like, you know, going off the field.
Yeah, okay. Good, fair.
What about Aguilar? Is he going to make this team? Are they going to find a way to keep him on this roster?
Well, I came up with an update where I had to predict the 25-man roster, and I came up with a way to keep him on by only going with four starters. That delays the decision though for 8 days. That's the bad news.
I like that way of thinking. I saw that. I like where you're coming from on that one.
Well, and you know, it sounds procedural, but remember, 2 years ago they went to Houston to play a couple exhibitions, and they lost Matt Garza and a reliever that was just breaking into the big leagues named Corey Knebel. And those guys got injured in that final series of the year. Then last year, Matt Garza. They put Garza on the DL as they were taking a batting practice the day before opening day in Miller Park. So last minute stuff happens, and it does make sense to delay those decisions until the very end. And we were talking with David Stearns yesterday about the Stephen Vogt injury, and I asked him sort of about, you know, the bigger picture about debating this roster, and he said they've tried to make a obviously you talk about it, you think about it when he chats with Craig Council and when they get the staff together every morning, it comes up. But they have really made a conscious effort to avoid hardcore roster debates until you have to make those decisions. Because in the case of Vogt, for example, and the catching trio, that decision often is made for you. And they've avoided just wasting breath on things that they don't need to decide yet. Now, Jesus Aguilar is sort of one of those instances where, you know, you don't need to set the roster until you need to set the roster. Now, the side to that is a trade could always free it up. You know, you could make the decision by making a trade. So that is certainly a possibility that someone still gets dealt to open up a spot and sort of ease that, say, the outfield logjam. It does not sound like that is hot right now. My understanding is not that they are very deep into talks about trading somebody to free a spot, but it certainly is still a possibility. And after a winter where the GMs have been talking all winter and running through trade scenarios and things like that, I think every team has a really good feel for where their counterparts stand in terms of valuing the different players. And sometimes trades at the time of year can come together really quick because of all that groundwork. So I do not have an answer for you for your question about whether Jesus Aguilar makes it. I don't think David Stearns does either right now.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Part of my thoughts on this, and I may not even finish my thought because I don't even know how to put it in a concise like sentence. But part of me is thinking, well, that's good that, okay, you got these assets. Why get rid of them now, obviously? Keep them as long as you can. And then there's like another part of me that's thinking, you can't do this all the time. You can't just not make decisions. Like, you have to make decisions. And if you don't want to make decisions, then don't put yourself in these situations. Does that make any sense?
The thing is, they do make decisions, but you don't make the decision. There's no benefit to making the decision now, except to please you and me and Chuck, because we want to know what the heck's going to happen. You know what I mean? I guess there's some satisfaction in that, but there's no benefit to the club to, say, letting go Jesus Aguilar now. And then tomorrow, Eric Thames has a tight hamstring, and you wish you had Jesus Aguilar. You know, there's never a point in May and June where you sit back and go, man, it's a really good thing they cut that depth in March. Like they're gonna need the depth, and you know that is a big part of building a team. And I think this is one area where there's a real deep gulf between how the fans think about spring training and setting the roster and how the front office thinks about setting the roster. Because the simple way to look at spring training is you pick the best guys. No team ever has just picked the best guys in practice. There's a lot more that goes into that, because no team has ever gone through a season with the guys who line up on the foul line on opening day being the players that play for your team all year. It's a much bigger group than that. And the last 2 years, it's been 50 players. Each of the last two seasons, 50 guys have gotten into a game for the Brewers. So preserving depth, as many guys as you can, is a huge part of setting the roster. And it's way, way, way more complicated than just taking the best guys. And that sometimes people get upset about that, I think. They think, well, you should field the best team you can. And I think David Stearns' counter to that would be, well, we do field the best team we can, but that means not necessarily picking the best guys for opening day. Does that make sense? I mean, it's like, these two sort of forces fighting against each other, but I think depth is going
to
win.
Yeah, I want to. I mean, I would like to see them keep Aguilar as long as they can. Obviously, he's a great part of the team. Sometimes I feel like they root for a guy to get hurt, or Aguilar is going to be here. Someone's going to get hurt, and that's fine. I don't know how long you can live on that though.
Well, look, but keeping Aguilar, that's on the side of depth. So that the argument for keeping him is sort of rooted in both the best 25 and keeping depth, because you can't stash him somewhere. So it would mean if you keep Jesus Aguilar as the club is currently constructed, that would mean somehow stashing someone else that's a good player that has options, and then you keep Jesus Aguilar. Or it means not keeping that extra pitcher that you want at the beginning of the year so you can keep an extra position player. So I would put keeping him in the depth category, because how are you going to play Eric Thames, Jesus Aguilar, and Ryan Braun? That's another conundrum that they would have to figure out if Braun's going to play at Summit first base. So Aguilar is a tricky player right now, but he's a good player. And I guess the other thing to think about is, as they get better, these are the decisions that are going to come up. I mean, I think we could have the same conversation with Keon Broxton and Brett Phillips. Phillips is particularly having a really rough spring in terms of Cactus League results, but he's a good player. He was a good player for him last September. And Keon Broxton and Brett Phillips are probably going to start the season at AAA, which is, you know, probably not fair to them in terms of their talent, but it's preserving maximum depth for the organization.
I'm surprised that Stearns has not made a deal. I'm sure he's tried to, but with all this depth they have, that he hasn't tried to turn the corner and hasn't pulled off a trade just yet.
Yeah, I am too. Based on sort of the industry chatter and hearing from scouts and their thoughts on Domingo Santana, but it obviously means that the return for Domingo Santana is not what those of us on the outside think it would be for a player who hit 30 homers with, you know, nearly 900 OPS. I think I look at what Domingo Santana did last year and his on-base skill in particular, you know, and how that's valued in the game right now. And I would assume that Bruce could get a really good pitcher, a good starting pitcher to plug in that rotation for him. That's obviously not the case, or they would have done it. So I think that maybe the offers for Domingo Santana, because of his defensive deficiencies, other holes that they see, that scouts see in his game still, as he's still a developing guy, that teams are not willing to make an offer that the Brewers feel is worth it. So I think, again, depth, David Stearns would rather just preserve that group and go with the starting pitching that they have. But I've been saying to you guys, I'm going to be surprised if we get to opening day and they haven't added a significant pitcher. And here we are, we're past 2 weeks to opening day. We're 2 weeks to the home opener as we talk right now, and they still haven't added another significant pitcher. So I am surprised by that. But they have this whole complicated system of, the predicting the season ahead, that they do all those internal, their own computer system that spits out data that sort of shows you what your team is capable of. And they feel like they have the arms in the system already to replicate what they did last year when pitching was a real strength. Pitching was, fifth in the National League for the Brewers last year and 10th, I think, overall in baseball. In terms of ERA, it was really what drove the team, because the offense in the second half was, not clicking the way it was right before the All-Star break. So this was kind of a pitching team, and I think there's a lot riding on that staff again this season, and how quickly Jimmy Nelson can get back and what he looks like when he does get back, and can Chase Anderson do again what he did last year when he was healthy? Can Zach Davies again give you 30-plus starts? Can Jolys Chacín do what he did in a good pitching park in San Diego last year? There's a lot riding on the answers to those questions.
Is Jacob Barnes working through some stuff? What's going on with him?
Well, we had a long chat with him, and then all kinds of things happened, and I didn't even get to write any of it. But basically what he said is he feels great. He's making, like, little tweaks here and there. Derek Johnson is really good at identifying little things, the way the ball is coming out of his hand, little, you know, minuscule mechanical tweaks. And what he and Craig Counsell both say is that if you, you know, we can't, it's harder to do this now because we just don't, most of these games aren't on TV. But his misses are like a centimeter off the strike zone misses instead of 6-inch misses. So that's sort of what they're clinging to right now in terms of having optimism. And the other thing is, this is a carbon copy of what happened to him last year. And then the regular season began and he was, you know, I know he's a player that we like to, everyone likes to debate a little bit, but I mean, he, there was value in Jacob Barnes last year in 70 some outings. And, you know, he was deep. He was pretty good for him last year. People, sometimes people talk about him like he's, you know, terrible. He's not, terrible. He's also kind of a developing guy. He's got one full season in the big leagues. You know, he's a one plus guy in terms of service time. So there's optimism that they can get him straightened out. And this final week's going to be good for him. And, you know, Corey Knebel's not throwing the ball well either down here. But this final week, or coming after this off day, we're going to see a lot more of the relievers. They're going to pitch a lot more. They've kind of been very slowly worked in because there's just no need. You're not building these guys up like you are a starter. But this final week, they're going to do a back-to-back. They're going to just pitch more. And sometimes for these guys, that's what they need, just to pitch more. So we'll keep an eye on Jacob Barnes because I think they view him as a key piece, and he's had a poor spring training for sure. That's a guy that they need to turn it around on this final 10 days.
All right, before we let you go, yeah, 10 days left, a week from Thursday is the opener. As it stands right now, do you, A, think that they have their rotation all ready to go? They know who their starting five is without even telling you. And who would that five be?
Yes, I think they know at this point who it is. I think they're still trying to decide, but where we came in is, you know, do you start with four starting pitchers until you need a fifth in the eighth game? Buys you a little bit of time. And I think they're still kind of debating that. I think it's Anderson on opening day. I think Chacin is lined up for game two. My guess would be Wade Miley in game three. And then you hold Zach Davies for game four, the home opener. It means Davies will pitch against the Cardinals and Cubs on that opening homestand. He's been pretty good against those two teams. He's got to figure out how to get better at home. That's one of the things he really tried to figure out last year. His home numbers aren't good. So I think those are your top four. And then the question is, when do they use a five? I think it's Brent Suter. The question is just, when do you work him in? So if it's Brent Suter, that means you option Junior Guerra and Brandon Woodruff. Again, depth. Both of those guys have at least one option. So they would go down to AAA and be sort of the first call-up, whichever one's pitching better, when you need somebody, inevitably when you need somebody in the season.
Adam McKelvey, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, see you guys.
Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home construction or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. If you missed any of our chat with Adam McKelvey, Michael Cohen earlier this hour, or any else of the fine programming we give for you for free, it's also available 1057fmthefan.com. Click Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Also there are 5-hour energy brackets, the real-time brackets, 1057fmthefan.com. You can continue to play in a tournament where we were talking about the 5-hour energy brackets, a sort of new way of doing the brackets, because you can change your picks as the tournament went on. You can see the standings from the traditional way, your first initial picks, but then also with the ability to change. And I got email after email and update after update throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. Bart, North Carolina's losing. Might want to change your pick. Hey, Bart, Xavier's losing. Might want to change your pick. You get points based on when you change that pick. But if there was ever a year to need something like this, I mean, this just proves how cool of a format this is.
It was. And especially like in today's tournament, today, last year, the year before, it just seems like it's so open. I feel like we say it about every year. There's so many different teams that can win it. And especially right now, with 16 teams left, who knows who's going to win it? But there's so many different ways this tournament could end up, Bart. I just, to pick who the semifinalists are going to be is anybody's guess right now. And that's what's great about changing your picks, because you could change your picks if something's not going your way. Who know? I mean, there are so many uncertainties going into Thursday.
Yeah, it should be fun to continue to watch. If you get a little drowsy frames during the tournament, pop a 5-hour energy.
You got that right. Get back to 100%. 5-hour energy helps you feel alert and energized. Each shot is packed with vitamins, nutrients, and about as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. Contains zero sugar, 4 calories. Drink it in seconds. Feel it minutes, less for hours. 5-hour energy. Get back to 100%. I was mentioning earlier about I didn't feel that Virginia getting beat was the biggest upset in tournament history, in my mind, because it. I mean, sure, they got beat by 20 points, and you know, it's a 16 over a one, but I feel like there were some even bigger ones. Just watching the tournament over the years, Bart, I felt there were some other games, upsets that happened that felt even bigger than this one. Even though Virginia was the overall number one pick, number one seed.
I won't. So it's hard to say that it wasn't, because it's a 16 over a one.
Yes.
That never happened.
Yes.
What I'll agree with is that
point spread wise, it isn't, by the way.
Well, for a 16 to beat a one, and for me, who 14 hours before it happened on the air vehemently said it will never happen, I do feel like it should have felt bigger.
Yeah, that's right.
Feel like something was missing. I mean, greatest upsets of all time. It didn't feel like a 16 beat a one, but I feel like it will be just like, I don't think when we talk 5 years from now, biggest upsets of all time, we'll go Miracle on Ice. We'll go, you know, whatever. We won't. This will be like the
Villanova beating Georgetown.
This will be like the ninth thing that comes to our head.
All right. But I mean, preliminary rounds, early rounds of the tournament, the ones that I look at as being the biggest of all time, I mean, just as on feel, a few years ago in Mid-Tennessee State beat Michigan State. Michigan State was the 2 seed. Mid-Tennessee was the 15. I thought that was a monstrous upset.
But this, I mean, for the other side of the argument, this was a number one seed.
I know.
Against the 16.
I know.
The number one overall seed.
I know.
And it's never happened.
But I'm
so it's got to be the biggest.
It
upset
is,
of all
but
time.
It doesn't feel like it. I feel like there's been other ones. Okay, you remember when Hampton beat Iowa State with Marcus Fizer?
I do.
You know, Hampton was coached by Steve Merfeld, Wisconsin.
Was that when the coach was like in the guy's?
Yes.
Like someone picked him up and Merfeld, his legs were flapping.
His coaching at Creighton. Yeah. He coached against my high school basketball team, when I was playing, he was at Delafield St. John's when I played at Martin Luther. We played his teams, and we didn't know it at the time. The guy ended up going to Hampton.
Yeah,
and it's like, man, that guy. We got a program. A buddy of mine who played him with me, he's got the program, and Steve Merfeld is on the same program as me, as us. He was the coach at Delafield St. John's. We destroyed his teams, but he ended up, you know, getting into the coaching ranks in the college level and coached Hampton to a win over Iowa State.
CBSSports.com put out a list of the 10 biggest upsets of all time.
Okay.
Number 10. Number 15, Hampton over number 2, Iowa State in 2001.
You probably, 2001, you probably don't remember that, do you?
You just asked me if I did, and I said I did.
Okay.
I said, remember the coach had his legs in the air?
It was a Thursday night, I remember, late night. I was at the state tournament in Madison.
I was like 17 in 2001.
Okay.
Nice. I had a fully formed brain.
Okay. Didn't know how big of a sports fan you were back then, but okay.
I've been a sports fan my whole life, my man.
I mean, you know, some people don't watch a tournament till later on, but okay. Just asking. Go ahead.
Number 9. Number 12. Let me start over. You got me all tied up and twisted.
Okay.
Number 9. Number 15, Norfolk State over number 2, Missouri in 2012.
I didn't really feel that one. It was huge, obviously, but not as much as Virginia getting beat.
Number 8, biggest upset in college basketball history, in modern college basketball history. Number 15, Coppin State over number 2, South Carolina in 1997.
Yeah, SC was the South Carolina was the SEC conference champs that year and got picked off.
Number 7 was number now this one I don't remember. Number 14, Cleveland State beating number 3, Indiana in 86.
Yes.
That's the game that ended the season on the brink.
Yeah, the book Season on the Brink, written by John Feinstein.
Friend of show.
We had him on in the golf tournament. But the book that he had written back then called Season on the Brink, it followed Indiana's Bobby Knight's Indiana's Hoosier team step for step in the 86 season. And, yeah, they got beat. And then the next year, they ended up winning the national championship, beating Syracuse.
Number 6, number 15, Lehigh over number 2, Duke in 2012.
Yeah, Jabari Parker, one and done.
Number 5.
Or was that Jabari Parker? Was he one of the, was it 2012? No. Maybe it was the next year Jabari was one and done. He got beat, too.
Number 5, number 11, George. This was that long ago. Number 11, George Mason over number 1, UConn in 2006.
Went to the Final Four, George Mason.
That was that long ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was fun because I was a big 24 fan, and there was a character in the show named George Mason.
Now here's the problem with George Mason becoming a mid-major going to the Final Four. All these other athletic directors and school presidents looked at it and said, geez, how's George Mason going to the Final Four and we can't even make the tournament? That unfortunately set the high bar for some mid-major guys, and you know, some presidents looked at it that way.
Then dare other teams have success because now we have to
do well.
Yeah, geez.
Okay.
We were toiling in mediocrity being just fine
Why shouldn't we be doing that well?
Number 4, number 15, Richmond over number 2, Syracuse in 1991.
Slightly remember that one.
The first ever 15-2 upset was then. And then the other 3 we've all mentioned. Number 3, number 15, Middle Tennessee over number 2, Michigan State. Number 8, Villanova over number 1, Georgetown in 85.
Championship game.
And then it's got to be UMBC over Virginia in 2018.
There was a in the late 80s. Austin Peay defeated Illinois. Illinois was a top 2 or 3 seed. And this is when the games were on ESPN. And Dick Vitale was an analyst in the studio. This is when Dick Vitale was on top of the college basketball world. And he said, if Austin Peay beats Illinois, I'll stand on my head. And he did. He had to stand on his head.
So, wow, that's something.
On TV.
Austin One time Peay. A guy on TV said, if the Brewers don't make the playoffs, I'll swim across Lake Michigan.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
What happened to that?
Well, didn't you make a bet with me one time that you said something you never fulfilled it?
I said, if the Cavs beat the Warriors, I will eat my shirt.
There you go. And what happened to that?
Can you prove that I ever said that?
Well, we can go back on the tape.
True or false, the Brewers will win the National League Central Division this season?
I think so, yes. Handily. No, not handily. Maybe by a game, but I think they'll still... The Brewers will be division champs this year. Not a swim across Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Last time I ever put that type of stakes on a sports team from our state. Should have known better. Should have known better. I'll never do that again.
Although
I think the Brewers are going to win the division this year, but I'm not going to put those stakes in.
Let me dissect this.
True or false, the Brewers will win the National League Central Division this season.
Krause asks you a true or false question.
Yeah.
True or false?
Yeah.
And then you're like one of those guys that goes on the stand and just says, Fine, I'm guilty. You just walk right into your own thing. This is how Chuck answers a true or false question.
I think so, yes. Handily. No, not handily. Maybe by a game, but I think the Brewers will be division champs this year. Not a swim across Lake Michigan.
Okay, well, that's fine. He doesn't want us to say true. It's not a segment where you just give
he
one.
He asked true or false.
Well, but that wasn't the segment, though. If you just say true.
The segment wasn't say something dumb you'll never do.
No, but it's give it a little to back up your answer. You needed to back it up. You just don't say false, because then he's going to say, you know, you're kind of on there to give an answer as to why you said that, but I'll own that. That's fine. That's fine. You know, I also said Butler was going to the Final Four back in 2010, and I was right about that one, but people still want to bring up the Brewer thing. I think the Brewers are going to win the division this year, too.
Frames, that's 8 years ago.
Oh, great. That was 4 years ago you're talking about there. So go ahead. How about, there was one other upset that I thought of. When Arkansas Little Rock was a 14 seed, they beat third seed at Notre Dame. And the coach at Little Rock was highly regarded. He was up for all these jobs. The coach of Little Rock, because he made it to Little Rock, Arkansas Little Rock of all teams, had made it to the Sweet 16. This is back when mid-majors or small majors never got to the Sweet 16. He made it to the Sweet 16, got a job offer to coach Marquette, took the job, and then turned it down. Who turns down Marquette to stay at Little Rock? That showed you, too, where Marquette was at that time.
What about Dunk City?
Who?
Dunk City.
That was who?
Florida Gulf Coast.
Florida Gulf Coast. Remember, that coach parlayed that job into the USC job.
Yeah, they were a 15, and they beat Georgetown.
That was 2013?
Yeah.
2013, yeah.
They got to the Sweet 16, but that was it.
I found the one that Jabari was one and done. 14th seed at Mercer beat 3rd seed at Duke in 2014.
Oh, Mercer, yeah.
That was the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the year.
So we've got to say, if we ask you, was it the biggest college basketball upset of all time?
Mm-hmm.
You have to say yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a 16-1. It's never happened. I think you have to say yes, but also a 16-1 isn't what it was 10 years ago, because the ones are getting worse.
Yep.
And the 16s are getting better.
Yeah. And I'll say this, the biggest upset in the championship was Villanova beating Georgetown, because Villanova played a perfect game to beat Georgetown. Georgetown, heavy favorite in that game. And in 85, when Villanova beat Georgetown, that was a monumental upset. Monumental. No shot clock then, too.
So while this was the biggest college basketball upset of all time,
mm-hmm.
I still felt like something was missing.
I still feel Villanova over Georgetown was the biggest upset in the tournament history. The stage championship game, Villanova got there. Even, you know, NC State with Valvano in 83, I thought them winning a national championship, that was the run they made, was probably, that was kind of a miraculous run. Then they beat Houston. Guy Lewis could never win a national championship. He had great talent, couldn't get it done. He had Elijah Wan and Clyde Drexler and still lost.
I don't know what I'm expecting. Maybe I thought once a 16 beat a 1, they would just, like, stop the tournament. Like, okay, no. We got to stop the tournament, at least for a weekend, have a parade. A 16 beat a 1.
Yeah.
A 16 beat a 1.
But if a 1 was ever going to go down, wouldn't you want to see, like, a Calipari go down? You know, one of those guys who's just cheating her ass off. Not Tony Bennett. Especially not Wisconsin's own Tony Bennett.
Chuck, if he would have cheated a little harder, he wouldn't have lost by 20 to a number 16.
You're probably right. But you know what, Tony?
What did they say about nice guys?
You know what would be bigger?
Nice guys finish last.
What's a bigger surprise? a 16 beating Virginia, or if Tony Bennett ever got caught for cheating.
Tony Bennett's got to stop worrying about how to be a good sport in interviews. He's got to start worrying about stop fast break transitions from a number 16.
You're saying he should become more heel then.
I'm saying I would rather my coach not be the first one to lose to a 16 seed than have a nice interview with Tracy Wolfson.
I agree, but I'll tell you what. A lot of people would take the amount of success he's had at Virginia so far, because they had success.
The banner?
Well, yeah. Well, I agree. I said this 2 weeks ago, and he was named Coach of the Year in the country. Third time he was Coach of the Year. I said, what has Tony Bennett done at Virginia? He's been Coach of the Year multiple times, yet he hasn't gone to a Final Four. And this was the biggest, worst loss of them all.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, home of Bart's Bigger Breakfast. Ask and you shall receive. You asked us to bring it back, and Perkins agreed. Now it's coming back, though, as Bart's Bigger Breakfast. And we're sharing this with all of you guys. And share with us when you get the breakfast. Send us a picture. Tweet us a picture. Want to see it. I'm very proud to have this achievement in my life, Frames. Bart's Bigger Breakfast. It's bigger this time, and it's good at any greater Milwaukee area Perkins. For just $7.99, you get all of this food. 3 eggs, 3 pieces of bacon, 3 sausages, 2 pancakes, 2 French toast, hash browns, all for $7.99. Available at any Perkins in southeastern Wisconsin. All day, every day, but limited time only. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Hey, what the hell are the Jets doing?
The Jets, the singing group, the hockey team, or the football team?
No, yeah, I want to talk about the Winnipeg Jets for a minute.
Okay, says no one ever.
All right, how about the New York Jets?
Okay, maybe.
The New York Jets had the 6th pick in the draft.
Okay,
that's fine. I mean, they maybe need a quarterback. They have McCown again, Bridgewater, who I still think could be a very, very, very good pro. But they want another one. So they looked at what to do. They saw the Colts sitting there at number 3. Colts don't need a quarterback. Let's trade with them. So the Jets, to move up 3 spots, not even on draft day, mind you, a month and a half before, the Jets give up. Obviously, the 6, they swap. Then say, oh, you can also have our 37th pick overall and the 49th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the Colts are like, yeah. But before Ballard can say yeah, the Jets say, then we'll give you another one next year, second round. And then the Colts are like, yeah, okay, but they don't want to say yes because maybe the Jets will offer more. But that was the trade. To move up 3 spots, mm-hmm. The Colts receive the 6, the 37, the 49, and a 2019 second-round pick.
They must really like somebody.
But even so, they don't know that their quarterback's going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, because if for the Jets, for this trade to make sense, Football Perspective broke this down on Twitter. For this trade to make sense for the Jets, 3 things need to happen. One of their top 3 quarterbacks, whoever they like, have to be better than all the others. So if they like Darnold or Rosen or Josh Allen and they take one of those 3, they have to be better than the other, the Rudolph and Mayfield and Jackson, okay? None of their top 3 quarterbacks have to be available at 6. So They could have still got this guy at 6. No, that's why they had to trade up to 3. And whoever they draft needs to be good for like 5 to 7 years. This is a trade that makes more sense if you make it on draft day once you see what the first 2 teams do. But you're making this trade, sending all those picks, not even knowing what the teams in front of you are going to do yet.
Yeah, well, they probably have a pretty good hunch, though.
But if you trade all this to move up to 3, You're telling me the Browns wouldn't have taken this at one? Did you even call them?
I know. Well, there's a lot of bizarre things that happen in these trades. Even on draft day, it almost seems like sometimes these teams give up too much just to move up a couple of spots. So I don't know what they were thinking here. They've been very – man, has that team been active in the offseason so far? There's news every day coming out of the Jets.
Well, it's not good news. Not this one.
Well, you know, they signed Bridgewater.
He should be the starter.
He should be. But that was a good move.
They're paying him like $10 million, aren't they?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And they're paying McCown $15
million? Yeah, well, McCown is going to be the backup.
If he makes the team. Bridgewater going to be?
If he makes the – I think Bridgewater should start. It's better than McCown.
And then they're still going to draft McCown's 100 years old. Guys?
Sounds like it. Hey, look what the Bears did. They signed a quarterback in free agency last year, and they've cut him. They cut him after one season, and they went out and drafted the quarterback.
Yeah, true.
So who knows?
That is true.
I mean, who would have guessed that they would have went out and drafted a quarterback, moved up a couple of spots after they just signed Glennon? That was bizarre. And then they cut him after 1 year.
I don't know. I saw that trade, and I couldn't believe it. And if you're a Colts fan, I mean, you got to be ecstatic. The trade again, to move up from 6 to 3. The Colts got the 6, the 37, the 49, and a second-round pick in 2019. And that's going to be a good second-round pick because the Jets aren't going to be any good. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
Where's Goody on that one?
Goody hasn't blindsided us yet with anything. I mean, Jimmy Graham, we kind of hoped for it. He did it.
Well, people were hoping that maybe Gutekunst would trade up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, could.
If that's the cost of trading up.
Forget it. Forget it.
Stay right where you are, man.
Hey, man. He didn't lie, though, about being active in this offseason of free agency. He's trying his ass off, man. He's doing more than Ted ever did.
Good free agency so far? I mean,
I think so. So far.
They don't have that cornerback.
Yes.
I think that's a big.
Yeah. Oh, Eddie, I wish you would have. Boy, I wish that Fuller thing would have worked out. I wish that would have. I wish. Hey, people want to criticize him for doing that. I'm not faulting him at all. You know, he went out and he pressed the Bears in to give him a long term contract. Yeah. You know, Fuller should have just said, screw you. He took less money in Chicago.
Well, he had to. He got tagged.
Yeah. I mean, he took less money. What the new deal he got?
Chuck and Winkler, tomorrow, a Bucks Tuesday. Bucks have the Cavs tonight. We'll break that one down with you guys tomorrow. Bill Michaels up next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.